1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 17. And particularly we are thinking about the young people amongst us today, but you older folk can listen in too. And Jesse, that is the father of David, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, and all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou hast come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew also the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armour, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armour, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. I hope you don't mind me taking another week to think about this account of David facing Goliath. The actual fight, when it comes, is fast and quickly over. But I think that there are lessons to be had from these prior verses too. These verses that we've read today speak about David's reasons for going to the camp of the army. They speak about his passion for the honour of the Lord. And they tell us about the preparation that he made to face Goliath. David was still young. He was not a child, but he was perhaps still a teenager, a late teenager. And 3 of his older brothers were in the army and preparing to fight against the Philistines. And I just want us to be aware of that predicament, because it is not unlikely that one or more of his brothers could be killed when this battle commences. There seems to be some reference in the passage that we read to the battle having already begun, but also because Goliath continues to come out over this period, I think it best to think that these are preparations for the battle that are still taking place, and perhaps defensive positions that are being taken up by the various armies as they set themselves in array. But we can but think that once this battle fully commenced, that there was every possibility that one of David's brothers could be seriously injured or even killed. Another interest that David might have, of course, in this matter is that Bethlehem, where David lived, was only a few miles from where this battle would be fought. And if Saul and his army were to lose this fight, then David's own home, his family farm and home, could have been vulnerable to attack and to the looting by the enemy. So it must have been an anxious time in the whole of Israel, and it must have been an anxious time for Jesse and his family. And we learn that it's now nearly 6 weeks that the army had been gathered in this place. So it's not surprising that Jesse wanted to know what was happening with his 3 eldest boys. And so he sends David with provisions to their camp, and he carries with him bread and cheese and corn for his brothers, and also a gift for their commander. And as I was reading this, I thought that it was interesting to note how God appears to have prevented Goliath from leading an assault on the children of Israel. We're told that every time this man appeared, this giant with his challenges and defying the army of Israel and the God of Israel, that the men were frightened, the children of Israel were afraid. And yet Goliath seems content to simply shout at them for these 40 days. And I don't have an explanation as to why this battle had not taken place already, except for this, that it was in accordance with God's timing. And really, Goliath didn't know it, but he was waiting all this time for David to arrive in the camp. And I think that's worth noting, that our times are in God's hands. The days of our lives, the events of our lives, are numbered according to the will and purpose of God. And while we don't know what the future holds, our God does. And our Lord Jesus Christ loves and cares for our souls more dearly than we love our own lives. And all of the giants in this world cannot lay a finger on the Lord's elect unless God allows it. And sometimes he might, for our greater good, to teach us lessons, and sometimes they never get to lay a finger on us at all, though we often fear that they might. And there's another lovely picture here, I think, and I just want to mention it in passing, that the armies of Israel were apparently quite paralysed at this time. They were fearful and they were hopeless when they faced the Philistines and this giant Goliath. That is, until David came into the camp. David, in a sense, came to their rescue. It didn't seem like that. That's not what the circumstances said. That's not what they certainly thought. And yet it is a fine picture of our need and condition as sinners before a holy God. Because God's law, like Goliath, God's law is a fearsome thing. And it renders us guilty. And it renders us without excuse for our sin. And we, as a people, in our natural state, are helpless and hopeless until our great David, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to deliver us. It's as if we've got to wait without having any ability to do anything ourselves for all of this time, day after day, week after week. And then David came to the camp. And when he came, no one recognized him to be Israel's saviour. His brothers, in fact, rebuked and mocked him. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as the saviour, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And yet by his death, he has become the saviour of his people, the deliverer of spiritual Israel, the elect of God, and the redeemer of our souls from under the curse of the law. When David arrived at the camp, the soldiers seemed still to be taking defensive positions. And now David first encounters Goliath. The fierce giant of a man came out from amongst the ranks of the Philistines, and he shouted his challenge across the ground between the two armies one more time. And as Saul's soldiers cowered, David's reaction was quite different. He was offended that an idol worshipper should mock the Lord's covenant people, the army of the living God. You see, David believed that God would protect his people, and his bold speech, his bold attitude in the face of this giant's taunts soon reached the ears of Saul. And David was brought to Saul, who at first dismissed the idea that David could fight with Goliath. However, David insisted. He had fought and killed a bear and a lion that had attacked his sheep, his flock. And he says, "I will fight and I will kill this giant as well." And this interview between Saul and David is interesting because it reveals David's faith. And I want us to note this. Don't forget, David had been anointed king of Israel by Samuel. And David believed this. David believed that he would be king. He believed Samuel and he believed God. When Samuel told him that he would be king, when Samuel anointed him and told him that God had chosen him to be king, David believed it. Now, if God said he would be king in Israel, it must be so. That was what David believed. It must be so. And think about that for a moment. When the bear came and took one of David's sheep, David might have said, I better hide. I better run away. I could get killed here. And then he thought, wait a moment. I can't get killed if God has promised that someday I will be king. That promise means that I can defeat this lion. And he did. That happened with the bear and it happened with the lion. David slew the bear, saved the lamb. And then when the lion came, David probably thought, that lion will eat me. And then again, he recalled the promise. So he remembered the lion, he remembered the bear, he remembered the promises that he had been given. And he spoke about these things to Saul. He had been promised to be king. And David saw that Goliath could not kill him because he must be king. And that's an expression of David's faith. His experience of the bear and the lion gave him confidence to face Goliath as well. David's belief in God, his faith in the promises of God, gave him courage to face the biggest problems and to do so confident that the Lord would be with him and would protect him. David had personally proved the Lord in smaller matters, though a bear and a lion isn't so small, and he trusted him to be with him for the big things too, for Goliath. He'd slain the two animals in the wilderness when he was on his own. Now he would have two armies watching as he stepped out to face Goliath. And another thing that we learn here is the way in which Saul dismissed the idea of David fighting. Saul was preoccupied with David's inexperience and with his youth. And Goliath's strength and experience as a warrior was undoubtedly formidable. But Saul was looking on the outside, on the surface, and he did not see how the Lord was working a miracle of grace and goodness right before his eyes. When David explained about the bear and the lion, Saul reneged and agreed that David could go. However, he was eager that David would wear some of the king's own armour. It's actually almost funny to think about how the king's armour, the king was a very tall man anyway, but how they tried to put the king's armour onto this teenager. David politely told Saul that he could not use it because he had armour that Saul knew nothing about. David trusted in one who had promised to be his shield and his defender. And Saul's brass helmet and coat of mail was of no use to David. It was a poor substitute. True faith in Christ does not need to rely on the works or the abilities of man. And this brings me to the final thought that I have today, but perhaps the most important of all. David's confidence and his strength, his faith, was in the promises of God and the covenant that God made with his people. And yes, it is true that there had been a personal promise given to David by Samuel when he had been anointed as king. But David knew that God was Israel's covenant-keeping deliverer. And David relied upon that most of all. David knew that Goliath had no interest in God's covenant. David knew that he had defied and denied God's glory. And David knew the Lord was on his side. But he actually knew more than that. He knew that this was the Lord's battle for the Lord's own glory. It was not David going forth to fight Goliath, but the Lord himself. And David was merely the weapon in God's hands to slay the giant and to deliver his people. Now let's compare that to the Lord Jesus. He has come to do battle for us against our enemy, sin, Satan, death, and hell. He has come from heaven to conquer. He has delivered us at the cross, and he will deliver us day by day, and he will deliver us safe to heaven, those who trust in him. Saul wanted to arm David with his armor, but David had no other defense beyond faith in God's promises, and he went forth in the power of the Lord God of hosts. And our Lord Jesus Christ as well trusted in his Father's promises. In the covenant of grace, God promised Christ a people if he would bear their sins. And he did bear our sins, and he carried our sorrows. And God the Father honoured his Son by giving the church to him as his bride, as his church, as his people. David had to set aside Saul's armour, and he chose 5 smooth stones from a brook. There was no human part in those stones. This was the Lord that made those stones smooth in the brook. And nor can we add any work to help in the matter of our salvation. It is God's grace that saves a sinner. It is a work of sovereign power. Over the centuries, God polished those stones in the brook, in the river, and he made them smooth in that stream until David stooped, picked them up, and placed them in his bag. Someone once asked me, why did David take 5 stones and not just 1? And I didn't really know the answer to that. And then I read in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 22 that there were 4 more giants in the army of the Philistines. Maybe David took a stone for each one of them, just in case he had to fight them all. Such was the confidence and faith that David had. So like David, let our confidence be in the Lord. Let our confidence be in his promises, in his power, and in his purpose to save his people from their sin and to deliver them out of the hands of their enemy for his own glory. David proved his Lord, and by faith we too shall prove the Lord to be faithful to all his gospel promises, to all who believe. Amen. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.